bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dale Zabriskie, and I'm sitting across the table as usual from Ramona Zabriskie, and she has with her today something I'm really interested in seeing that every man wants.
What is that?
It's the translation dictionary of what when women say something, you get to look in
Did
here.
Did you peek already?
And know exactly what they mean.
I didn't even know you knew what we were going to talk about
It's
today.
Actually an app you can get on your phone. It's, honey, here, speak into this. And then it translates what she's really thinking. And only you can see it, guys.
It's, yes, it is the secret to the universe.
That's right.
Right here in my hands. The real definition of words when used by women.
I just go ahead. I really want to hear this.
Okay. So what do you think I really mean when you say, how are you? And I say, fine.
If you say fine, I think it's like, yeah, it's good. Don't bug me anymore. Just don't take it
That's
any further.
Close. Is that close? It often means I'm right. This argument is over. You need to shut up.
I missed the, you're
fine.
Right, fine. Okay, we are done here.
Yes, not I'm all right. I am
no,
right.
I am right. Not all right, but right. Okay. Okay, guys got that one? Okay.
Yes. So what do I mean when I say, that's okay?
That's a dangerous place for a guy to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you say, I'm really sorry I did this or that, or I wasn't home at the time that I was supposed to be. I say, oh, it's all right. That's okay.
That's okay. That means it's not really okay.
No, it means.
You screwed up.
It means I'm going to think long and hard because I'm still deciding how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll get back to you.
Exactly. It's a time buyer. Okay.
Mm.
And how about when I say nothing? When you say, what's the matter? And I say, nothing.
No, that means there's a lot of nothings out there that will be discussed later.
It's the calm before the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
Something usually means there's something really, really bugging at me, right? You go, so nothing usually ends with fine, that argument.
What's bugging you? Nothing. Are you okay? Fine. I'm
right.
fine.
And what does fine mean? This little test. Doesn't mean I'm all right.
No, it means we are done here. That's right. Nothing to see.
How about, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'll be done.
5 minutes. That means you could have probably watched the, what was it, the fourth game of the World Series here that went 7 hours or whatever it was.
You give me such a hard time about this one.
Yeah.
When I say, I'm almost done. I just need 5 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm almost done. When Ramona says I'm almost done, it's an hour. Okay, it's an hour. So.
Right. Well, maybe half an hour.
No. That's. I'm just finishing.
Okay, but
that's
in all fairness, if I ask you to do something, you say, "Oh, I'll get to it in about 5 minutes." It means the same thing.
I never put a time on it. That's what I'm smart. See, yeah, I'll get to that. I'll happy to take care of that for you.
Okay. When I say thanks, what does it mean?
It means thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got it.
Okay.
Take it and run with it.
Yeah, that's it. We're done here. Thanks for playing. Drive safely.
Okay. You've heard me do this. Sigh very loudly.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's tolerance for me, right? It's like, will he ever learn?
Yeah, exactly. All right. How about go ahead?
Then that'll be followed up by, how did that work for you? Did that work out for you?
Yeah. It's more of a dare than exactly. Anything else. I'd recommend not doing it if I say go ahead. All right. Listen, I'm giving you the secrets.
I know. I'm writing notes.
So
here.
Next time I say go ahead, what are you going to do?
I'm going to do something else.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn left instead of right.
And what about, don't worry about it, I got it.
Yeah, that means.
Be careful. Be very, very careful.
Yeah. That means something. Probably I screwed up somewhere and didn't do something.
Exactly.
Oh.
I've asked you several times and you didn't get around to it. So now don't worry. I got it.
I got it.
Yeah. It's not a good thing.
Don't worry. You didn't.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah. It certainly sounds scary.
So can you guess what we're going to talk about today?
Lexicons.
Language. Okay. So here's the question.
All right.
I love this listener's question. I love it because she loves us. Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
I particularly, that's a hard word for me.
Particularly. Good enough.
Enjoy how honest and forthcoming you are about some of yours and Dell's experiences.
Forthcoming.
We are pretty raw. It makes me comforted to know that with time, patience, and some real effort that our relationship can mature. Sometimes when I respond negatively to things with my husband, I know right away that I've gone about it all wrong. I definitely don't want to handle things in an unloving way. It just seems to come out in a burst of emotions sometimes before I even know how to package it in a more positive way. Any suggestions?
Yeah, I
think that's interesting. She knows she needs to express herself. She knows there's things that have to be said, but she wants to package it in a more positive way.
Or more appropriate way, more positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, you're not talking about being untruthful or being manipulative by how you communicate.
It means just careful. It means, yes. I mean, who wants to talk to someone who doesn't speak pleasantly or positively?
Because I think a lot of people might say, well, I'm just going to tell him how I feel and he can deal with it.
Well, then I would say, how do you...
I'm being congruent.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Good. I've heard it all.
From me.
So my answer is, well, how do you feel when someone is negative with you? Do you feel respected? Does it make you want to please that person or praise that person?
No, not particularly.
Right. So though I think she praised us for being honest. I think she's being very, very honest about saying, as soon as I say something, I know that it wasn't the best way to go about it, not the most effective way. And she's right, because our spouses, from a wife's point of view, for sure, our husband's perception of us or of a situation may be formed based on our words, you know, the phrases that we use. So that negative perception he has of us or of a quandary or a problem or
there's
a situation
or
whatever.
Yeah,
it's brought on by negative language. We actually are creating confusion and defeat before we even get started. When we're bringing something to them, we want to have a conversation. We need to have a discussion about this or whatever. And because our emotions get the best of us, or stress gets the best of us, or, you know, we've just fallen into patterns, into habits.
Yeah, patterns and habits, I think,
are huge. Of talking to each other, and he comes back at us with a negative, and then...
Yeah, just snowballs. You know, one thing you may... plan to talk about this, but I'm going to throw it out here now, because the one thing I really like about your teachings that I've used with people and just talking generally about our marriage and how long we've been together and how we've learned is the difference between responding and reacting.
Yes.
And how responding takes thought and measurement as opposed to just proactive. Yeah.
Instead of just whatever comes out from the gut.
I think that's just huge for people. They really grab a hold of the fact that, oh yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So next time I'm not going to react. I'm going to think about how I should respond.
It's not easy to do.
No, it takes a lot of
effort. Especially if there's emotion in play.
Yeah, yeah.
But it takes some forethought. I'll tell you what, it takes practice. It just, she's like, she is obviously in a habit. She says, sometimes I respond negatively to things with my husband and I know right away I'm wrong. I'm going about it. She just says, it's not that she's wrong. She's going about it. Mm. She says, all wrong. So we want to get out of that habit. We want to create some new habits, and that's going to take being proactive, and that's going to be learning to respond instead of react, and it's going to take practice. So let's get to some real concrete ways of approaching this and really get to her answer. First of all, I think we have to identify what is negative, because sometimes we don't feel like we're being negative. Mm. We don't realize we're sounding negative or coming across as negative. We're just, like you say, I'm just being congruent with my feelings. I'm just telling it like it is. Okay, so here's some criteria for determining whether you're being negative or not. Number one, negative language usually presents or represents an obstacle rather than a solution. It's like a red light instead of a green light.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it has a problem associated with it instead of trying to solve something.
Yeah, okay, so here, I'm thinking of an example. You want to take the kids to Disneyland? No way we can afford that.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
I just shut it down.
Yeah, well, next, let's see. I guess we'll go to the ice cream store instead.
So I've come across as red light. Mm. I have given no green light to any kind of discussion right off the bat. I've put the obstacle out there front and center. No way we can afford that. Right?
Yeah,
and it's probably true. They really probably can't afford
it. It's a great idea. It's a dad thing. We're going to do this.
But it comes across as so negative. Like you just shot his idea down. You don't even know where he's coming from, what he's thought yet or anything. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want to talk to you about anything after that.
Yeah, that's a non-starter right there.
Here's number two. All right, so the first one was negative language presents or represents an obstacle rather than a solution.
Oh, I got to tell you, just thought of one thing real quick. When I was a young man and my dad, I was looking for work before we were married.
Okay.
My dad—
Nice to know.
Nice to know I was looking for work. I stopped looking for work when we got married, but beforehand, I walked into the place and I said, you don't need anybody to work here, do you?
Exactly.
And my dad turned me around, you know, because you're starting with this negative assumption.
Yes.
Instead of saying, what can I do for you? And I see this a lot, and I've taught my own kids and in-law children that. That whole approach, how you approach something makes such a difference.
I think it's when you say, you probably don't have this kind of situation. You probably don't know, you think you're being humble. Who am I to assume that you have a job for me?
Yeah. You don't have any canned beans here, do you? Or whatever. You can turn it in, and that's just a pattern for people.
It does become a pattern. Yeah. So he cut that, he snipped that
early
mud,
on,
huh?
Early
on. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Because I'm trying to think, and you never talk like that. Ah, cool. So it's something you just learned from your dad. I love that.
Well, didn't just learn it, but I learned it from my dad.
So. Number two, negative language amplifies obstacles that are not present. Amplifies
obstacles and brings the focus
that aren't even present. Okay, so how about, it's making assumptions, negative assumptions. So I know you don't really care about this problem.
But, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah, you're setting it up and defining how the conversation's going to go at the beginning.
I don't know that he doesn't care about the problem.
Yeah,
but right off the bat, I bring in an obstacle that may not even be real. It's not even there.
Or you're telling them that they don't care about the problem.
Yeah. Right. Those two are very similar, those two parts. Here's number three. Negative language adds a degree of blame.
It can, yeah.
Yeah. So you never got around to fixing that doorknob like I asked, and now Cindy's locked in the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. Instead of, we need to get Cindy out of the bathroom.
Right, yeah, so now we're back to the number one. It presents an obstacle rather than a solution.
And number two,
but I also wove in a blame. I got a little knife jab in there. You never got around to fixing that bathroom. So now Cindy's locked in the bathroom. Right. Okay. How about negative language actually encourages an undesirable outcome?
Oh, how's that work?
Well, okay. So like...
You put people in a position to act the way they're expected by what they're hearing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or an undesirable, unhappy thing to happen. So because you were late to... Because you were late to her recital, I'm sure Linda is really hurt.
Mm.
I've set up Linda and Dad to be at odds.
Yeah, before. Initially.
I don't really know how Linda felt. I'm just mad at Dad.
Right.
And I'm going to say, oh, now you've done it.
Okay.
You're late, and I'm sure she's really hurt. So I'm setting up. He probably believes me. He probably believes that I know how Linda's going to respond. I've set them both up.
Yeah, and you've set up certainly Dad here in the way that he will approach Linda.
Yes.
He's colored that whole thing.
Yes, yes.
Going forward.
Yes, you set up an undesirable outcome. Perfect. Okay. So here's another criteria for negative language. The receiver takes the negative language personally and stops listening.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stop listening, what do? You get defensive.
Yeah, very much so. You start formulating your rebuttal.
Your rebuttal. You react.
Right.
Right. So when people stop listening to each other, they're only concentrating on, like you say, on the rebuttal, on defending themselves. So what's gone out the window?
Yeah, any type hope. Of
collaboration, creativity, cooperation. It's
ain't going to
happen. Throw it out the window. What was that song about throwing it out the window?
Violets? No. Sweet violets? No, that's I don't know where you go. Throw it out the window.
But that's what you do. You're throwing it out the window. Collaboration, creativity, cooperation.
Yep. Yep.
As soon as you start blaming and being negative in any way, people just stop listening. Whoever your spouse is going to stop listening, get defensive. So that in and of itself is enough reason to avoid negativity.
Yeah, because you
have no connection.
Yeah, you've ambushed the rest of the time.
Everything you wanted.
Going forward.
Yeah. Okay. So here's number six. Once they've stopped listening and gotten defensive and nobody's caring about making this work anymore, now you've laid the grounds for conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For deepening of an existing conflict.
Yeah, because often these things are, like you say, this takes practice because most people have to overcome a habit that they've already gotten into.
Yes.
And that just
digs more holes. And a perception of each other they've gotten into.
And like, you always expectation.
Do this. You always answer that. You never do this. Right. And so you can deepen that existing perception, that existing conflict by your negative language. Whenever people stop listening, you're one inch away from conflict.
Mm.
If the negative language is not so much offensive, because there's two different kinds here. You can have offensive negative language or you could have just pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Just pessimistic. We all know the
pessimistic
negative.
People yes. in our lives.
And that brings out negative everything too, right? So a person who's pessimistic, as I'm the speaker and I'm being negative, I'm being pessimistic. What that means is I am not really motivated to take any real action to get out of this situation that's causing me to feel so pessimistic or so unhappy, whatever the problem is. If I'm being pessimistic, I'm not really motivated to find a solution, not really motivated to get out of it, right?
And it's so easy to just...
That influences the listener or my spouse to be just as inactive.
Right, exactly. It's a whole idea in business that they talk to you a lot about. Don't be the guy or the gal in the office that talks about the problems. Be the guy or the gal in the office that talks about the solutions.
Yes.
You know,
but that's
to bring it up to
office.
Your boss and say, well, you know, this is happening over here. Or Susie did this over there.
Mm-hmm.
Say, here's the situation. What if we did this? Or how if we went forward like that? So if you take that, like you say, in just an office situation, imagine how it is with you have, you know, a family.
So true, if that's true in an office.
Yeah.
How true is it in a marriage? and family life. So here's a pessimistic statement. This would be like, your family's mad at me again. They'll never accept me.
Yeah, that's a
solution in there, right. Is there?
It's a denial. It's a defeatist attitude.
Yes, defeatist. Yeah,
never going to succeed.
Yes. You know what? It just makes me think of my mom and dad's gravy story.
Oh, yes. Well, your mom and dad's gravy, your mom's gravy is legendary. Let's just put it that way.
Tell the story. I've heard you tell it before. Well, like every Thanksgiving, I think you tell the gravy story.
For gravy is served.
We have Thanksgiving coming up.
Well, now, see, I'm going down a limb here, because if I start telling the story and I don't get it right,
I will not be negative. I promise. Okay. I will not be negative.
That's not what happened. You were there.
Okay. I don't remember it. But you just tell it so well. So go ahead.
Well, as I understand it.
Yeah, okay.
That's my disclaimer. early on in Ramona's parents' marriage, her mother wanted to impress her father with a nice meal. And so she had all the fixings out there, and whatever, you know, meat they had, she decided she was going to make gravy to go with it.
It was probably a meatloaf.
It was more likely a meatloaf. It was some ground something, and a ground critter of some kind. And so she presents the meal, and she's very anxious about having her new husband accept her offering.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And so he's eating away, and she says, you know, well, how is it, honey? And he promptly says, well, the gravy's a little salty. And that was his first reply.
Yes.
And we really don't know what came after as far as conversation.
It wasn't gravy.
But it wasn't gravy. Because I don't think Ramona's dad had gravy for 52 years. Never had gravy
said.
Again.
That's what he said. He never got gravy
that's right.
again.
And maybe that's a good thing for him. But, you know, it's all about
it's
how you approach
lesson.
It.
It's a good lesson.
That's right.
It's a good lesson. I mean,
it's a little salty.
It's a little silly. But but the point is, she wasn't motivated
right.
to do anything more. None of us are when people are negative with us. We right. don't want to please them.
And I've been bad at this. And you've tried to help me.
Here we go, being honest.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, we've talked a lot about, and you teach a lot about guys are wanting to solve problems and get things done. And you present something to me, or you've done something, you've created maybe a new document, new email you want to send out to your listeners or whatever. And you put it before me and
you go straight to the problem.
I go to the problem. I go right to the problem. I say, well, you know, you got an extra space here, or you got, I'd phrase it this way or whatever.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
It kind of bursts my bubble.
Yeah, I have to tell you how wonderful it is first.
And then you can show them the extra space.
Right, right. And I'm not that I'm...
We're teasing. It's always something much more than an extra space. But
it's three spaces. But no, it's a matter of... it's not that I'm not being honest by saying, I like it, you know. Uh-huh. How's the gravy,
just
honey?
Just the this, way I like
this
it.
This is right. This is what you, this is your version of... How's the gravy, honey, or how's the meal? And I'm not saying, well, the gravy's all salty, the extra space is in there. It's, man, this is really good. I love the way that this over here is just really nice.
Yeah, you're looking for the positive.
And it's all true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what do you lead with, right? And
what
so for
do you
me,
lead with?
It's for me, I just want to say, you know, I know it's wonderful. You write wonderful stuff. I've been telling you you've write wonderful stuff for
years. Why should I have
years.
To tell you again?
Why do I have to tell you again?
But
that space is going to drive me absolutely crazy. And right, that's the key.
I love what you said. It's what you lead with.
Yeah, it's all about what you lead, how you lead.
How about that?
First, you know, call it first impressions,
you know,
or,
what?
Or whatever.
I think when I watch couples interact, or I listen to women relate to me, their conversations with their husband that they're frustrated with, it seems to me that we can default to thinking of our spouse like they're a punching bag, and that they're just going to pop right back up.
Oh, the little clown that when like, you hit pops back
if
up.
If I can't be honest with my,
yeah,
you know,
right.
my
who,
partner, this person that is.
Who can I be honest
yeah,
with?
Yeah, and they'll pop back up. So punch. It'll be okay. They'll get back up. And you know, you know what I'm talking about? Those old clowns.
Yeah, right.
Remember
right.
The sand in the bottom.
Yeah, sand in the bottom.
Right,
yeah.
right. But they'll just, they can take it. And it's the opposite. They can't take it. They're the most sensitive of all people in the world to your comments and your negativity.
And if that's your approach, then everything is going to be dumped on this person. That's going to be the go-to place.
That's true. That's when people say, I'm just your punching bag. That's
over and over and over again. Yeah, and that gets old real fast.
A person's stress and frustrations are taken out. Yeah. You know, we were just at your brother's house, and he had a punching bag hanging in the garage. And his wife sends him out there to take out his frustrations. And I ask you, do you want a punching bag? And what did you say? Did you say you want one?
No.
You don't want a punching bag?
I don't have room for a punching bag.
You'd rather have the garage for cars.
Yeah,
that's you want to work on your cars.
I think I might hurt myself if I had a punching bag. If I need another surgery, I get there and go.
Oh my word! But as women, if we're using our husband,
thinking about it now, maybe.
if you're thinking of your husband like a punching bag, you start sending messages that go downhill. Women can actually be taking their marriage the opposite way of what they want, unity and love, towards alienation, so that they're pushing their husband further and further away by sending messages that say things like this. You ready? Here's how it goes. You're not meeting my needs the way I thought you would.
Mm. Yeah, I had plans, I had great plans, and this isn't it.
You're not meeting my needs. Or then that progresses to, I want you to be more the way I think you should be.
Yeah.
Now, you're not saying this.
It's the message.
Buried in your negativity.
Yeah, it's a message that is heard.
And then it increases. Yes, it's what he feels. Yeah. And then increases to, I'm disappointed that you're not meeting my expectations. Mm-hmm. So now we get more and more frustration, more and more disappointment expressed to, I want to respect you, but I don't trust you.
Because you haven't met my needs in the past.
Yes, right. And so you start questioning everything, everything about him, everything. You know, you're always undermining or second guessing whatever he says, including the decisions he makes, whatever. And then we progress to, I cannot support you. To, you will never succeed. Now we're way down the road. But we've all seen couples like this. To, I do not need you and I can act without you.
Yeah, you had your chance. You've blown it. This is a waste of my time.
Yes. Yeah. So my only point bringing that up, and we have a very specific paradigm that we learn in Wife Savers, in that whole curriculum, that shows you how this happens and how to avoid it. It's key. It's a really important to understand. But my only point is, it all starts with a little negative message, like, you're not meeting my needs the way I thought you would, and that I think you should.
Yeah, and a guy is just like, when a guy hears that, he's like, no idea
and
where to go with that.
That's part of what we learn, is how it's received by him, how he translates that. We won't go into that right now. It's too much, but the point is, negativity takes us down that road. And I know that's what our listener is saying. That's why she asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
She can feel that it's taking her marriage the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't want to push him away. We want love. We want connection. We want progress. We want to get the doorknob fixed. We want to get Cindy out of the bathroom. We want to make sure Linda and Dad are happy, even though he came late to the concert and everybody forgives and loves. And, you know, and we want, that's what we want. So we want to go to Disneyland.
That's it. That's right. I just like to get in the bathroom. Cindy's in there way too long.
So we don't
all the hot water's gone by the time I get in there, too.
We just need the doorknob fixed.
Yeah.
But the way we approached it, probably not going to happen. All right. But although we do need to get Cindy
bigger deal
out of the bathroom.
That's right.
All right. So rather than break down that bathroom door like a SWAT team.
That's right.
Or what I'm saying is, you know, we want to get into his heart. We want him to want to do these things with us. We want to be together as a family. We want all that we want. We can go in the back. We can go in the front door and break it down, you know, with the machine gun kind of approach. Or we can come in the back door. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not being manipulative. It's being gentle. It's being respectful. It's being positive. All right. Now, in order to become more positive, this is what she's asking us. Suggestions for how do I package these things more positively. I want to make a little disclaimer. I do not want to come across as giving simple answers to deep ingrained ways of patterns of communicating.
Yeah, it may have been going on for a long
because
time.
Because usually what's required are some real paradigm shifts. We have to wrap our heads around. We may even need to replace all the chemistry in our brains. You know, we just have to see things in a completely different way in order to get rid of that habit of coming across as impatient, negative. So here's some of the shifts that have to happen that we're not surprised can't happen in a 30, 40 minute podcast, but we have to come to understand him as a man and as an individual so that we're coming at him from a place of a bit more empathy, just a little bit more compassion.
I think that's huge because I know, you know, things we talked about here just right now, I put on, you know, my impressions, my expectations of how you should act or react to something is based on what I'm thinking of. And one of the big things you've really helped a lot of women do and men too, and certainly in our relationship, is look at things from a different perspective and understand where it's coming from, understand the source. And if you start to understand how a guy thinks or a gal thinks, generally speaking, it just is a great beginning for being able to approach it differently.
For most of my students, it's really revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And I just got an email the other day that said, I feel myself softening up. I thought that was really interesting way of putting it. We have to, so that's one thing. We also need to learn the language of respect when expressing our needs or asking for help and support. I say language of respect. I really probably should, you know, trademark that or something because it really is a peculiar way of approaching things that's very Lifesavers.
Well, I know you talk a lot about first respect.
Yes.
You know, and that's a tough concept for some people.
Learning,
right? Because you need to respect me. I'm not going to respect you until you respect me. And you're turning that around.
That's another whole podcast. That's why I'm saying it's these major mind shifts that are something of an earthquake for some of us. We also, here's another paradigm shift. We also have to believe in taking care of ourselves and filling our own tank. And we've talked about this in maybe every podcast episode to some degree or another. The reason that's so important is so that we're not coming at him from a deficit, a place of where we feel like we're drowning or a place where we feel so desperate. You know, like the story of my great grandfather who was on this sinking ship in 1857, story, you know, and when you read some of the stories from the survivors of that, the worst maritime peacetime disaster in American history, they are harrowing. And some of those stories include that passengers once they were in the sea, as the ship went down, were clinging to other passengers and pulling them down with them so that they're both, you know, have no chance of survival. It's really scary. So you don't want to become, you don't want to be that partner in your marriage. Mm-hmm. You want to come at any conversation as much as possible. So it's not possible all the time, but as often as possible from a place of security and fullness and so forth. And that only happens. Generosity is only going to happen. Proactivity, responsiveness instead of reactiveness is only going to come from a place of, you know, feeling
confidence
strong and, in your own self. All right.
Totally.
And we have to learn to manage conflict. That's another whole skill set. How to manage conflict optimally, because there's going to be conflict.
It's constant. I mean, not necessarily constant, but it's often.
So the most peaceful way, the most productive way, so that we protect the relationship when unavoidable, you know.
So the idea of conflict doesn't define the relationship.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's just something that happens. It's not who we are. But for some people, it becomes the norm.
It's true. I hadn't thought about it. It becomes the defining characteristic of their relationship. People around them can hardly stand to be around them because of that. And you and I have conflict every day, multiple times.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. But as I say in my book, it's more like, you know, if a conflict is seen as an earthquake, a natural disaster that's going to happen, our conflicts turn out more like little, you know, rattle a teacup. instead of
yeah.
split
yeah.
up, even if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Little split things.
Right. I can't even remember what we've
no,
been in conflict about today, but I'm sure we have.
Something to do with grapes, I think. really important stuff. Tuna
grapes?
Fish. Tuna
fish. yeah, what are we
for lunch? For lunch? Yeah.
we couldn't agree on it. All right. So those are all paradigm shifts that really need to happen, especially in marriages where this is an entrenched way of negative interaction. But we're going to, right now, just for today, today only.
Is this the test? they didn't tell me it'd be a test.
Really, really cheap. Oh. It's really free. We're going to do a skill set. We'll practice a skill set.
We got a role play?
Easy.
Do we have to role play?
Well, you don't like role playing?
Well, it's... Okay.
Okay, listen, you don't have to do it.
No, it's fine.
I'll play both parts.
They didn't tell me there'd be a test.
I'm playing all the parts.
Nobody told me. Okay, that's right. I get some different hats
listen,
for you to
this
wear.
Is just,
get
the... These are easy ways of turning a negative into a positive.
Okay.
And that positive twist is just going to leave a better impression and lessen the confusion and the conflict, right? Okay, so we want to do it. I hope we've set this up like... Yes, please. I want to be more positive. Okay. Here we go. Instead of, we can't do that. So remember the Disney trick?
Right, right.
Can't, how about, that might be a problem, but here's an idea. What if we tried this?
Mm.
This just goes back to what you were saying about in the office place.
Yeah, right.
Presenting a solution
right.
rather than the
exactly.
obstacle. So how about...
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd be able to pull that off, but what were you thinking?
Yeah. So how do we do that with the Disney trip?
Well, yeah. So the Disney is...
She said, no way we can afford
yeah.
that trip.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole thing about Disney is excitement, right? It's the happiest place
yeah.
on earth.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful idea. It would be great for us to go to Disney.
In about 20 years.
Yeah. How do you, to avoid, you know, filling up our credit cards and all this thing, how would
yeah.
you propose that we do this?
That's it. Yes. You know? A plus.
Oh,
you brought up the problem,
okay.
which
right.
is the credit cards.
Right.
Yeah, that she doesn't want to go
yeah.
to credit. To debt. She feels like they really shouldn't do that and they can't afford it. But she said, well, how else could we approach mm-hmm. this? So, like, what if she said, using the Visa for that Disney vacation, that could delay buying the car that we've been talking about. What if we took the kids to the beach for a few days instead?
Or just the whole idea of being willing to discuss things instead of, like we've talked about earlier, just clamping down,
yeah.
shutting down.
Red light.
Over. Next. Yeah. That lexicon thing.
Yeah. But see, she reminded him of what the issue is and reminded mm-hmm. him of something else that they want, which is the car.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. That's the first one. Instead of, we can't do that, how about, that might be a problem, but here's an idea. What if we did this?
Right.
Okay. Number two, instead of, it will never work, how about, let's look at alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So here I present a solution about the Disney trip. You know, I said, well, what if we went to the beach for a few days? But she doesn't even have to present a solution. She can just say, what do you think? Do you have other ideas? What other things could we do?
One of the things that you and I have talked about a lot is the idea of talking to the big dog, you know, where I say, you know, just tell me what the problem. I'm the guy. Just what is it? You know,
yes.
just tell me what it is.
Yeah, I love
so,
talking to the big dog.
As opposed to, you know, dancing around and finally getting to mm-hmm. the thing. I just want to know, tell me what
yes.
I need to think about.
Straight
right?
to the center of the earth.
And so here, if you kind of turn that around the other way to say something like, it'll never work. Is
yes.
talking to the big dog in a negative sense
yes.
instead of saying, you know, the guy's got, you know, the scenario, let's go back to our Disney example. This guy's probably got spreadsheets at the yin yang about how to make this happen, right? And figured it all out.
She never gave him a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
And you present the idea of talking to the big dog. I want to go to Disney. We're going to go to Disney in February or whatever.
And
there's all this
the
stuff
backstory.
Behind it. Right. There's all this backstory, but he's presenting it this way instead of. I'm not saying that he should have pulled out the spreadsheets necessarily.
It might have helped her, but yeah.
But if she responds or rebuts
yes.
that same, you got to be kidding, as opposed to, honey, You must have been thinking about this for and planning. How do you propose that we can do this? I'm interested to know how that might work.
In the example, example of the family being upset with her, and she's like, they're never going to accept me. What about, I'm concerned that your family's upset with me. Here's some ideas about how to approach your mom. And here's the support that I'd appreciate from you.
Yeah. That's a tough one for a guy to be in, too. If you've got the in-law or the outlaws.
It's a common problem, unfortunately.
Right, it is. But and to put him in the middle.
He's not Mr. Relationships, necessarily. And it's very confusing to a guy of, like, who do I prioritize? It's very clear to a woman. Very clear.
But she's presenting
it. To him, it's really intimidating.
Yeah, and she's presenting this in your example as a very proactive, I've been thinking about this.
Here's, I'm concerned your family's upset with me.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it. Here's some ideas or an approach that I think might be helpful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could, you know, follow through this couple of things. The next time this happens, whatever.
Okay.
Like, I'm concerned your family's upset with this. Do you have any ideas about why it's happening and what we could do about it? See, now this is what I'm saying, number two. Just open it up.
Right.
And try to get some positive solution brainstorming going on between the two of you. Now, besides rephrasing like that, besides, you know, saying things from a more positive angle, another super effective thing that I am a champion of, I know our daughter Hannah uses this very effectively. She teaches about it all the time, which is questions.
Respond with questions?
Just
more questions into
questions can help make your spouse aware of problems or potential problems and see if they can come up with the solutions themselves or better solutions. So a lot of women will go off the Richter scale when their husband comes and says, I want to start my own business.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you're like,
we're moving to the Azores.
Yes. And instead of shutting it down and being negative and pointing out all the wrong things again, all the obstacles, all the red lights, asking questions like, well, let's go back to the Disney trip. Well, have you thought about how we'll get a new car if we spend $3,000 on that Disney trip? And you've pointed out that there is an issue here. We got a problem, but I didn't just zero in on and put a period at the end. I put a question mark at the end. Have you thought about how we're going to get that our new car if we spend $3,000 on our Disney trip?
As long as you don't add "you idiot" at the end of that, it's good. So it's all about the delivery too,
As long as you don't do a loud sigh at the end. Never mind. I'll take care of it myself.
That's right.
Or here, remember the recital? He was late for Linda's recital. I know you wanted to be at the recital from the start the other night, and it's too bad it didn't work out that way. What do you think would be fun for you and Linda to do this week to make up for it?
Mm-hmm.
She'd love to have a daughter date. What could you guys do?
Right.
So instead of coming down on him like boom, it's hey, I think it would help. Linda might have been a little disappointed. It would really help if you went on daddy-daughter. What could you do?
I like the assumption here in the way that she's, in this example, approaching the guy to assume that he feels bad about it and that, you know, he's worried about it and not
assuming the best about it.
Right. Assuming the best instead of, oh, man, I didn't have to go to that recital. That's a good thing. Yeah, that's not where his head is.
This is so key. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's something that I really, really love to preach. And that is assuming his heart is in the right place.
Right.
You don't have to agree with him all the time. He's going to make big mistakes, but a nice guy, a well-intentioned guy, you're so much better served in that relationship if you'll just assume, generally speaking, that his heart, at least, is in the right place. He was, he stayed too long at work. Yes, he got caught in traffic because of it. Yes, he got to the recital late. Yes, maybe he should have left there earlier, but you don't know everything else he was facing that afternoon. Let's just assume that his heart was in the right place. He's trying to finish the day. He's trying to, you know, do what he needed to accomplish, whatever it was at work, please the boss, whatever, and please you, and get to the recital, and make sure Linda knows she was important to him, and his heart was in the right place.
One thing that we've talked a lot about is we make up stories.
Tell that to me all the time when I start spinning out of control. You really say, you're sometimes. American
Upstart. You just, something happens or somebody says something and then it's spinning out of control is perfect. And I think that's the other thing here, right? You make up stories. The other thing that my dad taught me when I was young, since it's time for the two things my dad taught me, we're getting them both in on this
he
podcast.
He probably taught you a lot more than that, but those are the two things that
the two things that I listen to. My dad told me is never react to the first information you get about a situation, because it's either going to be A, totally wrong, or B, it will definitely be colored. It will not be.
Oh, it'll be incomplete.
It'll be rose colored or what other color of some kind.
You don't have all the pieces.
Don't have all pieces.
First.
Don't react. And he was really good at that. When he'd hear something, he'd just kind of look at you and nod his head and think
about
it.
More to come.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so good. Don't react to the first bit of information. And the other one was talk to the big dog.
I can't remember. You taught me.
Oh, no, I was going to say gravy. Always say that's just the way I like it. No, that was my dad. That was my dad.
You don't want somebody to work here, do you? Don't lead with a negative.
That was it. Oh, blessed dads. All right. So to sort of summarize all of this, we want to be direct. We want to be clear. We want to be succinct. We want to sans the emotion, if at all possible. You know, just speak clearly, directly. And we want to try and judge hopefully. All of that, direct, clear, succinct, get rid of over emotion, judging hopefully. What have we done? In each one of these examples, really, what we've really done to turn a negative to a positive is replace an obstacle with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
A defeat with a victory, blame with credit.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And destruction with construction.
Mm.
That's all we've really done. When I say that's all we've really done, it didn't take very much to do it. What it took was just a little thought. I haven't really compromised my real intent. I want to let him know that I'm concerned about the credit card and Disney. I do need his help in figuring out how to deal with the family that I think is upset with me. I do want to make sure that he and Linda are going to be on. They're going to be okay with each other because of the recital and all of that. I that is my intent, and I haven't compromised it by just giving a little time, a little thought, a little proactivity, as you said. How am I going to approach this in a more positive light? I've restructured my language in such a way as to draw out not only the best outcome, but the best in him.
Mm. And the best
like
for moving forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I've put all the pieces in place to get the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
And like you said, you said, I like that you assume that he really does feel bad about this or really does want to help, because now I've brought out the best in him. We do it with our kids. You know, we're really good at, we try to be good at being positive with our kids. We should be positive with our spouses. It's the most important relationship
we tend to
in our life.
Cut our kids some slack more than we cut our spouses some slack.
Yes.
And we're all just kids.
But the point is, we're all just growing up. We're all just growing up.
We're just kids with cooler toys is what we're
at. So true. So true. Well, anyway, I hope that helps our listener to be feeling a little more excited that she's going to face a fewer of those moments where she's like, darn, why did I say it that way?
And I am not going to never, ever do things never negatively. Not never, ever again.
The Wife Savers Podcast is brought to you by the Wife Savers Education Membership. In just a few wife-saving minutes a week, you can systematically learn and apply everything you need to know to create a powerful, loving marriage and partnership. And by the free ebook, 5 Lies We Tell Brides and 5 Truths That Save Wives. Get them both at wifesavers.org.